Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Morning.
Morning.
All good?
Yes.
Excellent. Expectant?
Yes.
Ready?
Yes.
Yeah, Jesus has got something for you today. Now, I was kind of encouraged this week, having a conversation and talking about how despite preaching from notes, there's certain stuff that drops in on a morning and an evening that's different. And that's just a real confirmation that the Spirit of God wants to get something personally to you. There's the basics of what we bring, but there's sometimes stuff for you personally that he wants to get through. And sometimes you're kind of preaching in the evening service and you're thinking, I said this thing this morning and it was really good. But it wasn't in my notes, but it was there. And you're kind of thinking whilst you're preaching, what was it? And it just doesn't come. And then you kind of realise that, you know, that's probably not for tonight, that was for somebody this morning, or vice versa. So God has got something for you this morning. Yeah. He really wants to speak something to encourage and strengthen you and get it right through into your heart. And that rolls me straight into where we are today. We continue to look at the heart. And for these past few weeks, we've been looking at the heart. The spiritual nature of the heart and how it's something so important to God. And over again through Scripture, he addresses this whole thing that we started off right at the beginning, that, you know, guard your heart because it informs everything that you do. Everything that you do. And then we just started to unpack that more and look at it. And today, it's a particular subject which is massive. It's a big subject. It's a challenging subject, whether you know Jesus, whether you don't know Jesus, whether you're a follower of him or not a follower of him. This particular message is a challenge for everybody. And it's a challenge in to say, you've got to live a certain way. And there's also a part of your heart that draws towards that and longs for that. So let's start with our base foundation scripture for today, which is Ecclesiastes 3:11. Ecclesiastes, a bit more wisdom from King Solomon. And there's some of the stuff this guy comes out with. You know, more and more I look into Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, you realise it is the king of the one-liner. It's kind of like, if this guy started a business in doing inspirational posters for officers, then he'd be well on his way. No, it didn't need to, but there you go. And it says this, Ecclesiastes 3:11, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So he's planted eternity in the human heart. Every single human who is created, who comes into the world, has something of eternity planted, placed in their heart. It's not something that develops over time. It's not something that comes with a conscience. It's not something that comes that is developed through going to church, having a faith, being around believers. It's right there, wired in the creation of the person themselves. And not in the mind of man, not in the thinking of man, but in that important place, as we've been looking at for these past few weeks, the important, most important place, the heart of man. And I love that because it could have easily said, God has placed eternity in man's minds, in man's thinking, that men need to think on eternity, that men need to have this set in their minds, but it doesn't say that. What we hear from the Bible, what we hear from the heart of God, is that eternity has been placed in the heart of man. And that is something which has a twofold job, really. From what I've seen, it has this twofold role in the heart of man. First and foremost is that knowing there's something more to life than what I'm experiencing right now. Whether a person denies the existence of God or not. You see, mostly the Bible tells us that a fool says in his heart there is no God. Somebody just thinks there's no God in their thinking isn't classed as the fool at that point. It's only when it sinks into the heart that they're classed as the fool to say, you know what, when it's gone deep into the heart, where all that important stuff is, to say from the heart there is no God is very different to someone who's an atheist and saying, I don't think there's a God. Because most people that you speak to are adamant, there is no God, I do not believe in God, I do not have faith, there's still something that niggles away at the life of that person because eternity is placed in their heart. And regardless of how they think about that, something's always tapping away. And that's why whenever we go to a funeral or we go to somewhere where we're faced with our own mortality as humans, everybody gets impacted. Everybody sees a coffin or sees this situation of life and thinks, is this really all there is? Because there's something that's stirring inside me that's saying, it's not. There's something inside of me that's saying there's got to be more. And that's because eternity has been placed in the heart of man. So it plays that initial role of drawing us to that place of salvation in Christ and recognizing that where we want to go, where we want to spend that eternity, that knowledge of eternity is there and it draws us to God to accept the cross of Christ, to accept the sacrifice of Christ and come to a place of forgiveness and salvation. So it draws us to salvation, it draws us to Jesus. And first and foremost deals with that first point of where we're going to spend eternity. So what we do with the cross determines where we're going to go for eternity. And, you know, it's not a fashionable word these days in church to mention the word hell. Although I have said it's hot as hell a lot this week. I couldn't find any other word to describe it, really. I won't mention the person for their own sake yesterday, but they said it's really hot today, it's hot as, and they paused and I finished the sentence for them. And I think they kind of felt okay because the pastor had said, hell. I was like, it is hot as hell. I was like, seriously, on Tuesday I was thinking about eternity and working through this message. And it was cafe. Cafe is not like hell. Cafe is very good. But seriously, up on the garden, the kids were playing up on the garden and it was like this serious sun trap. And I'm not young enough to remember this, but the heat just doesn't seem to bother them. And it was just so hot up there. I mean, Josh was off work the next day with a migraine. It was so hot up there. It was hot. And every time he came in here and the aircon was kicking out, it was like, that's so beautiful. And all I could get in my mind, every time I stepped out, was like, it's hot as hell. It's hot as hell. And then I kind of had this thing drop in my spirit because I've got eternity in my heart that gets me thinking about these things was, there's no aircon in hell. I'm kind of like really pleased to be able to walk into this room and cool off for a second. And I was thinking, I don't want to spend eternity if it's slightly like this and there's just no paddling pool and there's no aircon. It's like, that just sounds like major torture. Even yesterday, it was like, I just can't get cold. It was just like this constant heat. I was like, I'm so hot. It's so hot. It's so hot. Not that I'm complaining because I do like the heat, but, you know, it's like, so hell, it's okay to say hell. It's a real place. And what we do with the cross of Jesus determines where we're going to go, heaven or hell. And that whole concept in our heart, which says eternity, eternity that drums away, beats in our heart, eternity, eternity. When am I spending eternity? When am I spending eternity? And that's the most important thing. That's the first step of that eternal beat in our heart. Where am I going to spend eternity? And that is determined by what we do with the cross of Jesus. If I choose salvation, if I choose to repent and turn away and accept the free gift of grace and forgiveness from Jesus Christ. But then once we get beyond that point, there's a second part where we start to think about, okay, I know where I'm going for eternity, but how am I going to spend that eternity? Because it's really clear from Scripture that not everybody spends heaven the same way. There's a lot of talk about rewards and eternal rewards, and coming before Jesus and giving an account for what we've done, giving an account for the way that we've lived. Those eternal fruit, everlasting eternal rewards. So yes, what you do with the cross gets you your ticket in. But are you going to be down the front rocking away at the concert? Or are you going to be like me and my brother when we went to see Bon Jovi a couple of years ago at the O2? And it was a little bit like, I'm at a Bon Jovi concert, yes, but it felt more like, I think there's a Bon Jovi concert going on somewhere over there. I had my ticket to get in, but seriously, it could have been anybody on stage. They were like this big. And we were like right at the back of the O2. And I don't know if you've been to the O2 arena, but it's huge. And it's one thing if you go to watch the wrestling or tennis and the arena's in, and it's in the middle. But this was like, the stage was down that end. It was like, we were here, and the stage was in like Market Bosworth or something. It was like, is that Bon Jovi? I don't know. Just, you know, I got my ticket in. I just didn't pay the money to be right down at the front and rocking away. Now, when I went to see Kiss, it was a different matter. I was able to get right at the front for that one. And it was like, oh, so this is what a concert's supposed to be like. Yes, I can definitely see that that's Gene Simmons, and I can definitely see that that's the people, that's Kiss, that's, they've got the makeup on, I can see what they're doing. I can even see them moving their fingers on the guitars. This is great. But there's a difference in what I've paid. And very much when we get our ticket into heaven, how we're going to spend that time there. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, in the whole time of worship, it's not, I don't really see it like faith camp. You know, it's like, okay, here's your ticket into heaven, and you're either at the back during the worship or the front during the worship. I'm just using this as an analogy, okay? You've got to use a lot of analogies when you're talking about the things of eternity, because we don't really know, do we? So certain things just help us get our head round these things. But what I know is, Jesus has given my ticket in and I'm there. Yeah. Now, I've got this role of giving an account one day for how what I've done with that. That eternity bangs away in my heart saying, are you investing into your eternity? Are you investing? Are you investing? Are you bearing lasting fruit? In his book, Driven by Eternity, John Bevere really opens up this idea of eternity in a way that helps you understand it a little bit more. And it's still confusing, I've got to say. You know, he does a great job of bringing a message from God, and he brings a great parable explaining it. But you finish the book and you're stirred and you understand a bit more, but you think, oh, I'm still confused. But that's okay, because it says there, you know, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. We're never going to fully understand it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can fully understand, we're told. And he says this, does John Bevere, with regards to people who plan for an eternal future, those who plan for a forever with God. He says this, they live with purpose and know their eternal destiny is being written by how they live on the earth. This will provide them with a grand entrance into the kingdom of God, rather than slipping in with all they've done, burned up and destroyed. Now that's another one which just puts the fear of God in me. I know last week I mentioned about the fear of God, but thinking there's actually a possibility that I will get into heaven. That's non-debatable. But I could lose everything I've worked for. You never want to do that. Because that's just not the best. So you're kind of like thinking, what? Burnt up? Destroyed? What are you talking about? That doesn't sound very godlike. That sounds a bit harsh. And you know what? The more you sometimes look at the nature and heart of God, you realise he is such a loving God that sometimes it comes across as harsh. I feel harsh with my kids sometimes. Not so much with Joey, that's a bit different, but I feel harsh with Elijah sometimes when I kind of want him to have what he wants. Yesterday was a great example. He just wanted to eat all the time. Yeah. With whenever there's crisps at child level, it's kind of like it's non-stop. And then there's cake, and it's like, Elijah, you've got to stop eating. It just keeps like a little dustbin. It's like, but I feel harsh. I say, sorry, mate, you can't have any more. But, you know, it's because I've got his best interest in mind. You know, you've got your tea coming later, you're going to be too full. Or, you know, you look really good at the moment, Elijah, you're lean, you're looking like an athlete. You keep eating like that, you're going to look more like your dad. And you know, take that. You don't want to go down that route. But it comes across as sounding harsh, but it isn't. It is a loving God. And in the closest we can find this, because yes, it's one thing for John Bevere to say it, but in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15, it says this, and I've taken this out of the Truth Version, Pastor Collins' Truth Version, because it just opens up. There's just a few extra words that are dropped in that helps us understand it that little bit more. And it says this, so if someone builds on this foundation using spiritual gold, silver, and precious stones, his work will survive. But if someone uses only wood, hay, or stubble, his work will be burnt up on the day of judgment. For then the value of each man's work will be seen clearly before the testing of God's fire will prove the quality of what each person has produced. For those whose work survives, there will be a reward. But for the one whose work is burned up, there will be loss. He will be saved, but only like someone who has escaped from the flames. So this is where that eternity comes in again, is do you want to just scrape into heaven by the skin of your teeth as someone who's just escaped the flames? Or do you want to be going in knowing that there's been an eternal investment into your life from the moment of salvation onwards, that every day has been an eternal investment, so that you come into that place, not just scraping in, kind of like singed eyebrows and singed hair and all, but you're steering far away, and you know that what you're coming in with is something of eternal significance, knowing that what you have built is of strong and is on a strong foundation. And the foundation is Christ, Jesus Christ. Everything is based on the foundational truth of Jesus Christ himself. We don't start on that, then it's kind of like a bit of a mess. The foundation has to be right in anything. The foundation of anything. If that's not right, the rest of it doesn't work. The rest of it doesn't work. And Jesus is that foundation. So if someone builds on this foundation, Christ is that foundation. He's the starting point, and it's a good foundation to build on, isn't it? Yeah. You know, to build your life on Jesus Christ is the best foundation you can find. And things that have great foundations last. Things that don't, they don't. So build on Christ. Build on Jesus. Let that be your starting point. And we're all called to produce lasting fruit that will have eternal significance, because it survives God's testing. I kind of have these imageries of all the stuff you like just put into this fire and you're kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. And I had something else really open up to me about this that I've never really noticed before, just as God spoke to me while I was preparing, about how wood, hay and stubble is destroyed in the fire, but gold, silver and precious stones get better. You use fire to purify metal. And I don't know about stones so much, but I'm sure that it doesn't damage them. And I was thinking, yeah, not only does it not just survive, it gets better. As opposed to the other stuff which just gets burnt up. Wood, hay and stubble. Now that stuff burns. It goes up like, you know, I used to love playing around with matches and stuff when I was a kid. They didn't ever get done with it for arson or anything, but I still like fire now. This gets me excited. Just like, it's such a cool thing. So for this thing, I'm thinking, you know what? Yeah, these things actually, when they're put in a fire, they don't just survive, but they get better. So we're called to have that eternal significance and fruit that lasts. A fruit that lasts. Salvation, as I said at the beginning, is God's gift. But there's a difference between salvation and reward. The salvation isn't a reward. You get a reward for doing something, don't you? And just to put things straight, you didn't do anything to get your salvation. That came down to one person alone, and that was Jesus Christ. But each will receive his or her reward in heaven according to what he or she has done. And this is where this hyper-grace message becomes dangerous, not only with regards to tricking people to thinking that they're saved, but they're not really, but people losing an opportunity for an eternal reward that is worked for. Because to just say, well, God's grace is sufficient and it covers everything anyway, so it doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to heaven and we're all equal, is robbing somebody of the opportunity to say, if I live by my purpose and I do what Christ has asked me to do, then the reward I'm going to get is going to be great. So we have to be really careful of those false teachings that kind of make the gospel a bit wishy-washy. And a little bit too airy-fairy. It is a very straight down the line. And I get so upset when I hear those kinds of things, not only from a salvation point of view, but from that reward point of view. Because it's very difficult to receive the reward for something if you don't know how you're supposed to get it. It's all like, well, I found out somebody got a good reward this morning. And it was like, oh, if I knew you were going to get that, I'd have done that as well. But I didn't know that was available. But, you know, you kind of find these rewards, but you can be robbed of that by people giving false information and saying, it don't matter what you do. Once you're saved, you're all right. But that's not the truth. And that's not what Scripture teaches us. And I think really deep down, because we've got eternity placed in our heart, we know that as well. As soon as we hear somebody speaking or writing or something, listen, I'm not sure about that. that's not right. That doesn't really tap in with the eternity in my heart that's saying salvation, eternal reward and significance for eternity. But it is a gift. Salvation is a gift, but it's very different to a reward. And it's better to have a reward in heaven than to merely escape the flames of judgment because of salvation. As I said, you don't want to be going in. I don't want singed eyebrows and singed hair when I'm coming into heaven. Again, I'm using metaphors. But I want to be as far away as possible and know that I'm walking down the VIP lane because my eternity, what I've invested into my eternity is exactly what God had for me. And building with gold and silver and precious stones and building on Christ basically comes down to the whole thing of obeying him and his calling or purpose for our life. Obeying him and his calling or purpose for your life. And building with wood, hay, and straw means following our own desires to live life our own way, regardless of God's plan. Saying, I don't care what God's plan is. I don't care what God's purpose is. I want to do it this way. I'm going to get some of mine. I'm going to do life my way. You know, that's a bad idea. So many people have my way at the funeral, don't they? But I did it my way. It's like an interesting song to have. It's, you know, I don't want to be declared as I did it my way. I want to do it his way. So if anybody plays I did it my way at my funeral, then hopefully that will just be a wrong statement. But what I hear once I get to the other side will be, oh, don't worry about that. You didn't do it your way. You did it my way. God's way. Thy way, as I've heard used. I did it thy way. And then that is the way we want to be in here. We don't want to be going after our own plan. Because it just doesn't fulfill what we've... It just doesn't work. And it always, not only for an eternal point of view, but in life now. Because, you know, God releases rewards now as well. You know, this is about an eternal thing, but eternity is now as well. Does that make sense? You're investing into eternity down there, but you're almost like getting the rewards now that are released into your life as well. And to go off track and not live in that call and purpose just means you start building with wood, hay and straw, and it doesn't even last for a few days, and it just brings destruction. Can you imagine, again, this is another hard thing to think about, working your entire life, doing good works and accomplishing things that you thought would matter to God, then finally meeting him face to face, only to realize that you were doing what sounded good to you and that you weren't building on Christ at all. Again, the fear of God. Not a fear of being scared, but a reverent fear of saying, I don't want to get this wrong. You know, that I'm checking myself all the time. God, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? God, is this what you really want? God, I don't want to be doing this if it's just going to be a waste of time. Because there's too much time to waste and eternity matters to me. And from the moment I was saved, eternity mattered to me. And what I invested into my eternity really mattered. So it took me a long time to be able to get into a place of being settled in Christ that this is okay. Because I was so worked up all the time about, I don't want to do that if it's not going to invest into eternity, or I don't want to do this. And eventually you just rest into that and you settle into it and you find that the more you're led by God and the more you come to know the love of God in a good way, that you stop being so pressured and scared and you move into this place of just being completely in reverence of God and faith and trust in God that you're hearing from him clearly and what he's saying to do is the right thing. Now, granted, no one builds entirely on Christ because we often sin and we generally fall into our selfish desires. We all want to be in that place, as I talked about last week, of pure of heart, that single-mindedness, that living in such a way that I've got pure, unadulterated devotion to Jesus. But every so often, there's just things we do which we do just track off. You know what, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to do things how I want to do it. I am going to do it this way. And, you know, I'd still get to meet anybody that is like hitting it 100% every single day, that they're building entirely 100% into their eternity. And that's fine as well, because in those moments, his grace is sufficient. And that's why I'm glad that the other side of this eternal message isn't done by works. I'm glad that salvation doesn't depend on my works, but instead we're justified through the blood of Jesus. I'm really glad I don't have to work for my salvation, because I really don't think I'd ever get there. It saddens me to see people who have that belief that you earn your way into heaven, that you earn your salvation. You can't earn salvation. You have to be perfect. And only one person ever did that. And they then gave that as a gift to us. So I'm glad that it's not a reward, that salvation is a gift. That I'm given that gift of an eternity in heaven. That I don't have to earn that and get to that place of receiving that from him is far better than trying to earn my way into heaven, because I'd never get there. You might think you would, but you wouldn't. Just to burst your bubble, okay? It's just not going to happen. So if you try and stop, accept the free gift of Jesus, and then start working towards investing into that eternity. But as we can see, heavenly rewards don't depend on those works. But the rewards that we get will direct the result of how we live in heaven and on earth. So how we live now isn't determined by... how we live then isn't determined by what we do with regards to where we're going. But what we do determines how we're going to spend it. Those heavenly rewards are dependent on how we live on earth today, not where we're going to go. And I really want to get that across today. What you do with the cross determines where you spend eternity. How you invest into that determines how. And perhaps that's why these heavenly rewards are the reason why the Apostle Paul, when he was addressing the church in Philippi, in Philippians, and he said to outwork their salvation with fear and trembling. I think that's a really good description, because that's a lot of the time how I kind of feel, and again in a good way. Like I was saying, I want to ensure that I'm operating in my purpose. Like, God, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Because it's quite easy to coast, isn't it? Especially if you kind of find a purpose, it's easy to coast through it and think, well, this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life. But it's easy. It's also interesting to make sure that you say, God, is this still right? Am I still on course here? Or have I just fallen into the flow and I'm just enjoying going with that flow? But he says to work out with fear and trembling. Another description in Philippians 2:12 is where it comes from. It says this: dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. He must have really liked the church in Philippi. Like, you know, going, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. It must have been really nice for him. And now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, not because of scared of God and what God's going to do, but more, I want to make sure that what I'm investing into is going to be the fullness of it. I want to make sure that this is the right thing to do. I want to make sure it's that little bit of good pressure, which is sometimes good. Now, I don't work very well under pressure sometimes. I kind of like go to bits sometimes. It's like, oh, that's why I like to be so organized. But it's that there's a healthy amount of pressure that's good. You know, if you weren't able to apply a healthy amount of pressure, you wouldn't be able to pick things up, would you? It's the pressure of the thumb is what enables us to pick things up. Good pressure is good. And I think for me, it's that healthy amount of pressure from God that keeps me on track to say, yeah, I can see where I'm going, but also I want to think about how I'm going to spend my time there. So that reverence and fear really works in this whole eternal realm and this eternal perspective of life and living a certain way. Is everybody still there?
Yep.
Stay with me. I know once we start talking about eternity, it's like, but stay with me today. And as we think about that, all this doesn't mean that, you know, for example, you look at your situation and think, well, mine's not as good as theirs. What I do doesn't seem to be as significant as them. You know, it doesn't matter what that is. Whether if you're a stay-at-home mum, you shouldn't be feeling guilty that you should be doing more for Christ. Neither does it mean that if you're not in full-time ministry that you need to drop everything and go off and become a missionary. Because I think sometimes we can look at this and think, okay, well, I want to rack up my eternal reward, so therefore I'm dropping everything and I'm going and doing this. That's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. Even to drop everything and go to Rothy is a bad idea if God's not said to do it. Okay? You might think, well, it's just going to Bible college, it's fine. Believe me, I've been, and I've been there with people that eventually realised it probably wasn't for them, and they struggled and found that a massive challenge. So it's not about looking at your life and thinking, well, I'm not being significant and I'm not building something of eternity like that person. I feel like I'm missing out, because it's based on what you are supposed to be doing. Remember that God, his rewards will be granted based on obedience to fulfill whatever vocation or purpose he has called you to do. It's no good looking at somebody and thinking, well, I want to be more like them, because they're obviously going to get a lot of rewards in heaven, so I'm going to go over here and do what they're doing. Because you know what? If that's not what God's got for you, that's wood, hay and stubble. That's not precious stones and gems, because you're not building on that obedience anymore. So you might come before God and think something's been built, when actually God would turn around and say, well, that's not actually what I wanted you to do in the first place. You should have stayed on track with doing what I'd asked you to do. You went off to try and build stature and you missed it. You missed what I'd got for you. And whatever that might be, a doctor, a teacher, a stay-at-home mum, a builder, they're all part of life. We've all been asked to do something particular, created for a reason, created for a purpose, to say, this is what I want you to do. Obey me and do it, and your reward will be great. Don't try and go off and be somebody else and do something else. I think, again, John Bevere describes this really well in Driven by Eternity, where people come before God, and again, metaphorically speaking, and say, and God kind of calls out, okay, can I have evangelist John come forward, please? And the person steps forward and is like, I think you mean dental surgeon John. He's like, no, evangelist John, stand forward, please. Like, no, I was a dental surgeon and a believer, and I worked really hard in the workplace, and I invested so much into that, and the money that I made, I was able to invest. And God just says, yeah, but that's not what I asked you to do. This is what you were supposed to do, and you didn't. So everything's burnt up. You can go into heaven, well done, but not well done, good and faithful servant. And again, that's caused us to be in that place of fear and trembling. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
I'm not freaking you out here this morning, am I?
No, you're good.
This is good. If it's getting you thinking, it's good. Because we're supposed to be thinking on these things. Yeah. And we're supposed to be getting onto those things of eternity, because it's in our heart. And it's good if something's there to understand it a bit more.
Yeah.
And understand what's going on. So I make no apologies if you are getting freaked out, because we do need to think about these things. And maybe sometimes we don't think about it enough. Your life's purpose must begin and end with Jesus. Again, it's that foundation on which you build. It must begin and end with him. It has to be that foundation. So when he reveals what he wants you to do with your life, do it wholeheartedly with that single-minded, pure heart devotion that we looked at last week. When you come into his kingdom, you will hear, as we hear in Matthew 25:21, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, realistically speaking, I don't know a believer or a follower of Jesus that doesn't want to really hear that when they come into heaven. That's like the approval of approvals, isn't it? You know, you're kind of thinking, it's nice when other people say, well done, that was great, or I really enjoyed that, or thank you for your help. But to come before the King of Kings and him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, he'd be like, oh. I reckon that you kind of hear that just as you go into heaven, because it just puts you up for eternity then. You know, like somebody's compliment can put you on for a few days and you're walking on cloud nine, you're buzzing. So hear the King of Kings say, well done, good and faithful servant, and you're just on this high for eternity then. Like, did you hear what God said to me? He said, well done, good and faithful servant. But I know he said the same to me as well. And there was somebody walking around with a head down. Oh, he didn't say it to me. Don't worry, you're in heaven. We're all here together. Come over to my place, it's bigger than yours. You know, all this kind of stuff, but you know, you want to hear that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a Jesus follower, if you're living a life now where you're investing into eternity, one day You want to get to that place where you come before God and you hear those eternal words. Okay, so to bring this home, because it's a big subject. Eternity is big and it's sometimes challenging, and it's sometimes, especially if you're in a place thinking, I want to be investing into my eternity, but I don't know how. I want to be investing into my purpose, but I just don't know what God wants me to do. I want to start investing today, but I just don't feel like God's told me what I'm meant to be doing. And I know that that's a difficult place to be. That's a challenging place to be when you want to invest into something, but you're not quite sure how. And it just seems so massive because it's eternal. It seems so big. It seems so challenging. So I want to bring it down today to take something as big as eternity and make it nice and simple. Not necessarily easy, but simple. Do you like simple? Mm-hmm. I like simple. It just makes life simple, doesn't it? A simple life is just like, yeah, don't be complicated. We have to remember that love is big in God's book. You see, you're probably thinking, but I don't know what my purpose is. God hasn't revealed it to me yet. Well, if you don't know that, the one thing you can do is love. Because that's big in God's book. While you're waiting for Christ to reveal his entire plan to you, you can still build on the foundation of Jesus by living out what he says is the greatest gift of all, which is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever. Eternal. Three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So it brings an eternal perspective with it again. These things are going to last forever. And as we do that, something different happens. Because you're actually able to pursue something in God which might not be a unique purpose, but you can be investing into your eternity by doing it. Loving on someone, pursuing that, living in such a way that God can look and see. And I kind of like to do a little bit of research whilst I'm preparing for these messages. And I came across a story which I thought really summed this up in how God views this in his mind and how God sees this. And I read a story about a man who gave his sister a very small gift and God noticed it. The man was a big money philanthropist. He was also a big noise in higher education. Unexpectedly, he became ill and died for a few moments. At that time, Christ appeared to him to show him scenes of his life. While reviewing each scene, Christ revealed the value he placed on each of the man's actions. Surprisingly, Jesus didn't do cartwheels because the man had given away large sums of money. And he didn't say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when he reviewed the man's academic achievements. Rather, it was a simple encounter the man had with his sister that pleased the Lord. One day, when the man noticed that his sister was heartbroken, in an effort to comfort her, he embraced her tight for a long time. In Christ's book, this was the man's greatest accomplishment. You see, in God's eyes, the things that might not seem very significant to us are actually massive. And sometimes the things that look massive don't really mean that much to God. Now, large gestures are great. They really are. And if it's what God has got for us to do, then that's really good. But it's knowing that that's what God wants us to do. It's knowing that that's where we're supposed to be. But sometimes those small things that maybe might not go noticed by anybody else, you might not even recognize it yourself, God recognizes those things. And sometimes they are even more important than the things that we might see as important. So while you're seeking God to reveal your life's purpose, sometimes little acts of love can seem mundane and unimportant, like such things as helping your husband balance the checkbook. Little things that you just like, can I help you with that? Just a little thing that doesn't seem like a big deal, but is an act of love. Or one that really applies to me of late, choosing to have patience with one of your children.
And sometimes that's a challenge, because you just want to explode, don't you? Why did you do that? What's the matter with you? But to choose love and patience in that situation, in God's book, is having an eternal significance, not only in your own life, but in the life of the person that you influence and impact through that. So remember, God notices. So the next time that you're beating yourself up because you're not sure what to do, and you're not sure what your purpose is, and you're not sure how your life should be, just think of the man whose brotherly embrace put a smile on God's face. And then smile, because you know that you're building your life on Christ with love, and you're doing something that's going to matter for eternity. And we can all do that, can't we? Every one of us can do that. We can all be in a place where we might say, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Then love. I'm not sure if this is my destiny. Then love. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do this. Then love. Embrace. Support. Encourage. And do those things that might not seem massive, but in God's eyes are huge and do have eternal significance and do build up an everlasting fruit that lasts. If you know what your purpose is, then pursue it with a wholehearted devotion to Jesus. If you know what you're supposed to be doing, take a hold of it with both hands. Don't look back and go forward. And don't look back. Keep pushing on and building up those eternal rewards that God has got for you, because he's placed eternity in the heart of every human. That includes you. That includes me. And we will never be settled when we try to run away from that. If we're in a state of being away from Christ, we're never settled not knowing him. And then when we do come to him, we're never settled until we know we're pursuing something and investing into that eternal significance as well. So we can do that either pursuing a direct purpose for our personal life, but in the meantime, there's certain scriptural ways that you can do that. Pursue the greatest one of all, love. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray before I hand back over to Steve. Yeah, Jesus, I pray that you help us to understand these things a little bit more today. Lord, it's so deep, it's so vast that, yeah, it is immeasurable. It is eternal. And it's sometimes difficult to look at these and take stock and just think, you know, where am I at? Jesus, what's going on in my life? How is this looking for me today? Lord, I thank you that your gift of salvation is freely available. I thank you that you've actually made the path into heaven available to each and every single one of us, and that we wouldn't take that for granted, but every day we would rejoice in the salvation that we have in you. And then with regards to building those eternal rewards, that lasting fruit, that we would do what it is that you are asking us to do, that we wouldn't be swayed by men's thoughts, we wouldn't be swayed by our own ideas, we wouldn't even be swayed by trying to please other people, but we would be so determined on pleasing you and knowing that we're doing what you want us to do and living how you call us to live, that we invest into an eternal future that is going to be great. And God, I pray for each and every single one of us here today, that on that great day, when we stand before you, we will all hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the fullness of your reward. Lord, that each of us would receive everything that you've got for us, that every single day we would live in such obedience to you, that every day it's just racking up eternal rewards, that we would live today knowing that we are an eternal people, that we don't belong here, that this is just a temporary place, and so we get to our eternal home. Lord, help us to live in such a way. Help us to live with that balance of knowing your loving care, knowing your grace sufficient, and also having that fear and trembling of wanting to do things how you want us to do it, and live in such a way that we live an obedient life to you, Lord, that our lives would be that outworking to others to see. This is how we are supposed to live. This is what it looks like to live for Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you that you did place eternity in our hearts, and that we can't escape that, we can't remove that, we can't get rid of that, that it stays there as an eternal reminder to each and every single one of us that there's more than what our human minds try to comprehend. Pray for strength today for each of us to stay strong, to finish the race well, and to continue to pursue after the things of Christ, to pursue love, to pursue faith, to pursue hope, and to pour those things out as well. In your holy, precious name, amen. Amen. Bless you, Steve. Cheers, mate.